Welcome back to the Senate Special Committee on Revenue. We have a work session scheduled for House Bill 4054. An amendment has been prepared, and I'd like Mr. Yates to explain the purpose and scope of the amendment.
Mr. Chair, the amendment replaces the original bill. And what the amendment does is to impose a tax rate increase on cigarettes of 27.5 mils, which is 55 cents per pack. That sort of gets imposed in two stages. One is beginning January 1 of 2003. In the bill, if we're looking at the first page there, line 19 provides for distribution of that new monies, with most of it going into the new Oregon Health Plan Fund, and small transfers to cities, counties, and the senior and disabled transit, so that their revenues are not reduced as a result of increasing the tax. Then in this portion of the bill is effective the first day of the quarter following the effective date of this act, and that will be January 1 of 2003. And it sunsets January 1 of 2008.
Okay.
Sections 4 and 5 do similar things, but make the tax retroactive back to July 1 of this year. Same distribution of the revenues.
Is that Section 11, the sub 2?
No, we're only up to Sections 4 and 5.
I'm sorry.
So January 1, 2003. Is the effective date?
January 1, 2003. No, this would be referred, presumably,
okay.
We'll talk about to which election later, but to the general election. And it would be effective 30 days after November 5th, is it?
The
general election, I believe.
Okay.
But the first day of the calendar quarter beginning after that is January 1. So that's when the tax will take effect. For administrative purposes. Yes.
Okay.
For administrative purposes, it needs to be on a quarter basis because that's the reports that are filed by the distributors. Section 5 then provides for reports to be filed by the distributors to the Department of Revenue, reporting the cigarettes distributed during that period between July 1 and January 1, and to make payment for those distributions. The third part there is merely how the wholesalers, the distributors, make payments. They buy stamps, and so it's the price that they have to pay essentially for the designation that goes on the pack, whether it's 10, 20, or 25 cigarettes. Section 6 then makes a one-time transfer during this biennium from the Oregon Health Plan Fund to the Tobacco Use Reduction Account.
It is.
And that ends up with a slight increase in revenues for those purposes that the tobacco use reduction account. Section 7 establishes the Oregon Health Plan Fund. Section 8 provides for an increase in distributor discounts for affixing the stamps to the packages of cigarettes. The distributors buy the stamps from the department. They open up the cartons of cigarettes, affix the stamps, and reclose the cartons. Currently, they're allowed 24 one-hundredths of a cent per stamp for the first 26,000 cases, and then 4 one-hundredths of a cent thereafter. This increases it and says it's 4 one-hundredths of a cent in all cases. I guess my correct statement there would be 0.4 of a cent.
0.4.
0.4 of a dollar.
4 mils.
4 mils. There you go. Section 5 You have in existing law a provision which would transfer any excess of money that go to the Oregon Health Plan. Any monies in excess of $175 million to the Senior Prescription Drug Assistance Fund. This makes it clear that the reference here is to the existing taxes, the 58-cent permanent tax, the 10-cent temporary tax, but not this 55-cent increase. Otherwise, basically, all the money would flow into senior and disabled or senior prescription drug assistance. Section 11 is a new section that was not in the House bill at the request of the Department of Justice. They feel for this period where the tax is retroactive, it should specify that the tax is on the distributor, not on the person buying the cigarettes. And so that's all that does, is for this transition period, changes the law so that the individuals in that case are not responsible for paying the retroactive tax should they bring cigarettes into the state. Section 13 then says that this will be submitted to the voters for their approval or rejection at an election held throughout the state as provided, and you will need a bill there, 4059, and at that time it will either direct this to a special election if there's one to be held for some other reason, or to the general election. As far as the revenue impact of the bill, it makes no difference. January 1 remains the first day of the calendar quarter beginning after the effective date of this act, whether it's voted on September 17th or November 5th.
Questions from the committee for Mr. Yates?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duke.
Just a clarification. We assume that this election, unless it's changed, would be the November 2002 election. And then you said it would, the tax would take effect January 1st. But is it retroactive to July 1st, 2002?
Yes.
I thought it looked like it.
The bill takes effect.
And the
30 days after the election.
Okay.
And so the first two sections of the bill, sections 2 and 3, then apply to distributions after that, beginning with January 1. Sections 3 and 4 make the tax retroactive back to July 1 of this year. And provide for payment of those taxes, not during that period when the act is not in effect, but after it's effective, and that would be they would be due and payable by January 20th, 2003.
Mr. President.
Question, Senator Minnis.
Are we in work session?
We are in work session. Senator Minnis, the only thing posted for these bills is work session. So opening the hearing opens us into work session.
There's
a question. Let the record show that we're in work session.
But
House Bill 4050.
In the amendment before.
4054.
A2.
Yes.
I could move the adoption of the A2 amendment, please.
Senator Minnis has moved the A2 amendments into House Bill Senate 4054. Is there any question from the committee about the motion? Senator Dukes?
I had a conversation somewhat earlier, and I believe it's important that we get on the record that we are doing this to send this bill over into conference committee to move the process along.
Well, there is a step before conference committee.
Yes. Well, assuming that it has the votes in full, which that isn't always a good assumption, but.
Any further questions from the committee?
Yes, okay. Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
I'd like some explanations here of a couple of things, and I apologize for not getting here as soon as I did, but Section 5, Subsection 3, explain A, B, and C, what all this means. As my good colleague here said about assuming, I'm not sure that that's always a good thing to do, and I assume that they're talking about 55 cents. I see only one that speaks to 55 cents. I see a 27.5 and 68.75.
If I may, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
The tax is 27.5 mils per cigarette. If the package contains 10 cigarettes, the stamp for that package then is 10 times that, or 27.5 cents. If the package to be stamped contains 20 cigarettes, then you pay 55 cents for each pack. And if the pack, I don't think there are very many of them, but if the pack contains 25 cigarettes, then the tax per pack is 68.75 cents, and that's all at 27.5 mils per cigarette.
Now, Mr. Chair, if I want
to call up the exception.
So you have to have a whole different stamp for every amount of package that has a different amount of cigarettes in it?
I believe that's true.
I don't know what it is.
I would guess that, you know.
Senator Troy has a question.
I'm sorry.
What happens if one has 27 in it?
Then
we ran a new law.
I'm not certain, but I don't believe I've ever seen a pack that isn't either a 10 or a 25 or a 20. But that doesn't mean they couldn't package them in different numbers, Senator.
Another question.
Question is from the Senator Fisher.
If I've been just totally, you know, and this is kind of shoved under our nose real quick, there's no chance to. I rarely ever read any kind of a situation where we're doing something where we don't add about 10 FTE and a whole other department and all kinds of monies and all this kind of stuff to do it. I don't see anything like this where half the tax is going to take care of the government into things. How are they doing it? Did they find a way to do this without adding any FTEs?
Create?
And no expenses for printing and...
Is there a...
There will be... the fiscal impact is minimal. Basically, what the bill amounts to is changing the payment that's made to purchase cigarette stamps. It will involve some processing of returns submitted by distributors in January of 2003. The department has stated that that's minimal, and they basically will absorb that cost.
Large of them.
Other questions from the committee? Relative to Section 11, which does not appear in the House version of this bill, I'd like to call forward Mr. Gardner, who may be able to answer some questions for the chairman on the question of whom is the actual taxpayer in this instance. And, if we are collecting the tax at the retail level, should we not be looking at the retail level rather than the wholesaler level for tax collections? Mr. Gardner.
Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for permitting me to comment. I'm here appearing today for Philip Morris. We would urge the committee to retain the language contained that would be deleted by Section 11 and the corresponding language in Section 12, which has been an historic part of the cigarette tax provision and which has clarified essentially for the sake of truth in taxation, that the retail consumer is the ultimate payer of this tax. This is similar to a number of excise tax provisions which has required disclosure of the amount of the tax that is included in the final purchase price. And it's an important accountability provision, we think, to make sure that ultimate consumers understand that an element of the purchase price is a tax. We don't think that, and we obviously have concerns with the overall direction of this bill, but we don't think that in any respect sections 11 or 12 are essential to that purchase. What those do is delete an important consumer protection, which is a disclosure to the consumer of the amount of the tax that is being imposed as a part of the purchase price.
Questions for Mr. Gardner, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Farrell. Question for our legislative revenue advisor. What's the origin of the amendment? Why is the amendment in here was not in the other bill?
In reviewing the House bill, the Department of Justice made those comments to counsel.
and council recommended that it be included. And if I'm not really prepared to discuss the legal aspects of it, we could have Dexter Johnson come down.
Is Mr. Johnson available?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Gardner.
I would simply note that in no other instance that I'm aware of in which the cigarette excise tax has been increased has a proposal been presented that would delete this disclosure requirement, which has been a long-time element of the cigarette tax law in Oregon.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duke.
Isn't this only applicable to the retroactive period?
Senator, I believe I said that, and as I look at Section 12, it says it applies to distributions occurring on or after July 1 of 2002.
Not before.
And it is not sunsetted, so it would apply from July 1 of 2002 on.
Okay.
I see Mr. Johnson. So. You come forward, Mr. Johnson.
I'm disappointed.
Mr. Johnson, we're having the question is, what was the rationale for Section 11 was to be added to the bill, which apparently changes the long-standing disclosure information?
Mr. Chair and members, Dexter Johnson, Legislative Council Office. The Department of Justice was concerned primarily about the other language in 320.085 sub 2, language in lines 16 through 18, which is inconsistent with and has always been inconsistent with the language in 323.030, which is the primary provision for imposition of the regular cigarette tax. That says every distributor shall pay a tax upon. This proposal, by being retroactive back to July 1, 2002, essentially would only work if it's a tax paid by the distributor. You cannot retroactively impose a tax on consumers who have already purchased cigarettes.
Well, can we slip a little IOU into each one of the tracks? Have them mail in the additional collections?
Well, Mr. Chair, that would be the same problem because it still wouldn't be in effect in time.
Well, I guess to tell you the truth, colleagues, I've had a little problem with the retroactivity portion of this bill from the beginning. Senator Minnis has his hand up.
Well, I'm confused, Dexter. The Section 12 has the amendments in Section 11 effective July 1 of 2002, and you're talking about retroactivity. I'm not sure if I'm following.
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, the bill will not go into effect, depending on when it's sent to voters. The earliest it could go into effect is October 18th. So it is retroactive to July 1, 2002.
Okay, so why does it not, or is there a section that then replaces the language after the retroactivity question sunsets?
Well, Mr. Chair, there is not. The reason is because that is inconsistent with the language in 323.030.
Is it?
And there is, if you look at the last sentence in 323.085, that says the provisions of this subsection shall in no way affect the method of collection of the tax. So,
okay.
Since it's a meaningless section.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator.
The question of whether we increase a cigarette tax or not is one question. The question as to whether or not we change disclosures and tax policy and anything else and I don't know whether there's any litigation or any questions in litigation about this question before the courts currently. I would be unwilling to move this forward with that particular question in this bill because that's very substantive. I'm certainly not going to rely on the Department of Justice's unwillingness to or uneasiness with that inconsistent language. I'd want to know a little bit more about the history of the inconsistency and delve into that issue because that is a much larger public policy question, in my opinion.
Other questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
I want this retroactive business thoroughly explained to me because I'm getting the feeling here that somebody sells something after July 1, he's responsible for a tax that he can't collect from somebody on July 1, and he's got to pay it retroactively. Am I right or am I wrong? So that anybody that sells a cigarette between July 1 and October 18th, was it, or whenever it is, he's got to pay back taxes on that, but can't get that back from the consumer?
Mr. Chair and Senator Fisher, the decision as to what price a distributor charges a retailer is a business decision in which there are a number of costs that are factored into deciding what that price is. Under this bill, there will be a period of uncertainty where the distributor does not know how much tax there will be imposed for the distribution of a package of cigarettes. Under current law, they report to the Department of Revenue the number of packs distributed, and they're required to do that. And it is through, because current law requires that information to be determined, that you can impose this tax retroactively.
So on the face of this, Mr. Dexter, we have an obvious conflict with existing statutes, unless you can cite some other example of a retroactively collected tax.
Well, Mr. Chair, for example, the printed bill, House Bill 4054, is a retroactive tax as well because it applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1, 2002. Another example would be imposing a income tax surcharge effective for tax year January 1, 2002 and later. Those would all be retroactive.
I guess I'd ask for an example from current statutes.
Mr. Chair, there was a 1997 Oregon Tax Court case in which the 1993 legislature retroactively increased corporate excise taxes through the repeal of a deduction. The court said in that case, and it's the Atlantic Richfield case, I'll quote here, there is no question that the people could retroactively impose a tax on themselves. That being the case, the court sees nothing in principle which would prevent the elected representatives of those same people from retroactively imposing a tax. And this basically is the principle that was first enunciated in 1928 by the Oregon Supreme Court.
I guess I'd ask for your assessment of how likely litigation would be to spring from this retroactive provision or the period of uncertainty that the bill clearly creates in who is responsible for the tax and how much is the responsibility.
Mr. Chair, I don't think there's any uncertainty about who's responsible for the tax. Legally, the distributor is responsible for the payment of the tax. There is uncertainty until voters actually enact the tax as to the amount of cigarette tax. As to the probability of litigation, I'm not a fortune teller. I really don't know.
I want to make it real clear. I've never spent any money with this industry. I've never used any of their products. I have no intention of using them in the future. But I have a certain feeling of fairness that this thing violates by about 5 million different ways. And number one, as a businessman, the last thing in the world I want to have to do is to overcharge somebody to protect my rear end for 5 months down the line to collect something that I may not have to pay. The last thing in the world I want to do is to have some customers come back and say, you got me for 55 cents for this pack, knowing full well that I did, and then the people turn it down, for instance, and do I have to pay it back? You know, we do all kinds of things to power companies and other people and telephone companies that do this kind of thing and force them to go back and go through all kinds of strenuous exercises, and Tommy Rott to send us back $2.45 7 years after they overcharged us. You know, and yet here we're
getting caught and bound up, and somebody's drafted some goofy thing up that puts us right in a position of doing this very same thing. And I for one, as I said, it's not from the fact of the use of the product, it's the fact that we're out here sitting here doing this, picking on a few people to bail us out of a, partially bail us out of a problem that we're in, and writing up a bill that doesn't make any sense in a business-like way, in a fair way, or anything else. This is one of the worst bills and poorest ideological thinking that I've seen since I've been in the legislature for 10 years.
Sure.
Senator Truro.
Is this section essential in the bill? Is there some reason why it has to be there? I know the Justice Department said it's advisable that it be there, but does it need to be there? It wasn't there in the original bill. You just added it. Does it need to be there?
Mr. Chair and Senator Truro, I don't believe so, because I believe that subsection 2 actually has always been meaningless because of the provisions in lines 24 through 26. That last sentence says that it doesn't have anything, in no way affect the method of the collection of the tax.
So if this were to come out of the bill, it would not in any way change what the bill does?
Not in my opinion.
Is that your opinion, Ms. Welch? Well, if it's needed, and then people can make the case if this goes elsewhere to another committee at some point, which it could be, that this issue could be brought forward again if it is essential. If it's not essential, then why are we fighting it?
Any further questions on this bill?
Isn't there a motion in place?
We do have a motion on the floor. Under the order of discussion, I just want to make sure everyone gets a chance to understand this, since this is a provision that does not appear in the House version, although our intention was to create a version that didn't really reflect the House version. I think it succeeded beyond our wildest demands.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Straw.
I would move. Is it all of Section 11, Mr. Yates?
It would be Sections 11 and Section 12.
Section 11 and Section 12. Those could come out. They're not essential to the bill. Doing what we want it to do. Just try to move is a motion appropriate?
We have a motion.
Well, you'd have to have a motion to substitute.
Actually,
why don't we can act on his motion, and then if you'll accept a motion to amend after that.
Senator, a motion to amend is always in order. However, you have to to pass a motion to amend, you have to have votes to amend, and I probably would vote no on the amendment to this bill.
You would.
I don't know how others may vote. I also have reservations about this bill, I think similar to Senator Fisher's bill, but I have committed to the President to help move this agenda forward by moving this amendment into this bill and this bill to the floor.
Well, if you're going to vote no on the amendment, then I won't make the amendment. I won't make the motion.
Senator Minnis?
If I could close on my motions.
Your motions.
That issue. I just wanted to say, as Senator Dukes pointed out, the reason that this bill is before us in the form that it is with the objective of getting the bill into a conference committee. I can't think of a better way to do that than to send a bill hopelessly flawed through the process, no matter how disingenuous that might be.
Well, that would be what we have before us.
And wrought with controversy nonetheless.
We have a motion on the floor. Senator, have you finished the address of your bill? We will call the roll if there's no other commentary.
And motion is to amend A2.
The motion is to amend House Bill 4054 with the A2 amendments.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Fisher?
No.
Senator Minnis?
Aye.
Senator Truro?
Aye.
Chair Ferriola?
Aye. Motion to amend a House Bill 4054 with the A2 amendments is passed. Colleagues, in order to move this legislation to the floor, we need a motion.
So move, Mr. Chair.
We have a motion to move House Bill 4054 to the floor. Is that with the recommendation, Senator?
As amended.
Yes. As amended with a recommendation to be passed. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Yes.
Senator Fisher is recognized.
Not only discussion and objection.
Yes. Any further discussion?
I wish to say that again, that I do not use this product, that I will not put my name and stamp on a bill like this. And from that standpoint, to harken back to my previous statement, the unfairness of this and the, both in the, and the idea of just raising more revenue off of a few captive people, you know, you start picking on people that don't believe in doing things the way you do it. We're going to start taxing the dairies because the cream that they send out or the ice cream and stuff is fat. Are we going to start taxing all the fast food joints for the heart attacks that they cause and all this kind of thing that we believe about it? I don't think so, and I can't go along with this.
Senator Fisher, any further comments? Senator Minnick?
Just that I wish Senator Fisher would quit giving suggestions for new tax ideas to people that might be interested. But I do want to make it clear that although I am going to vote to send this to the floor, it is a courtesy vote based on an agreement I had with Senate President, but I do intend to vote against it on the floor.
Senator Minnick's reservation of vote is duly noted. I, too, have a series of problems with this bill. I think it's very poorly written. When the bill first appeared, we talked about the retroactivity portion of the bill being something I think voters and citizens will think is bizarre. We don't allow retroactivity and the prohibition against ex post facto laws, the fact that there may be some retroactivity that in tax surcharges that's been upheld by the Supreme Court, I think may stand the test of legal fiction or something only attorneys believe in. I think it's very difficult to explain to taxpayers that you can pass a tax and then reach back in time and into their pockets. I also disagree with the idea of creating a reservation in law that changes the obligor on this bill. And I think if Senator Trow's expression of interest in an amendment is any indicator, I think other people would think this is a very untenable revision that's been brought by the Department of Justice for their own purposes and not fully explained either in the original bill or in the discussion. And I certainly don't hold Dexter Johnson responsible for that deficiency. The Department of Justice should have made clear that this change could have been a standalone bill and probably not brought before a special session of the legislature. I will be voting yes on this bill to move it to the floor. I will vote no on this bill. I, too, think this is a discriminatory tax. I think this tax falls most hard on the rural communities where tobacco use is higher, on the poor where tobacco use is higher. I fully support the purposes to which the funds will be put, which is the Oregon Trail Plan and other issues. Don't believe that this is fair or reasonable. Nonetheless, as the revenue chairman, I've committed to help try to move this process forward, and that is what we will be doing by calling the roll now. We can have a vote explanation after we call the roll, if you'd like.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Fisher?
No.
Senator Minnick?
Aye.
Senator Trow?
Aye.
Chair
Ferriola. Aye. Motion passes. Do you volunteer to carry this piece of legislation? Senator Trow will carry. Senator Duke's wishes to make an explanation.
No.
No.
No, I have to fund it prior, not after.
Thank you. Then we are out of work session on House Bill 4054, and that moves to the floor with a new pass recommendation. This committee is in recess till further call of the chair, which I hope...